Welcome to the Fibromyalgia Freedom Summit. My name is Whitney Gordon Mead. I am the creator and host of this event, and I've taken back my life from fibromyalgia. Yay! It now brings me so much joy to share with you what I've learned and what these speakers know to support you in taking back your life from fibromyalgia. I'm excited and honored to interview the speakers that I hand-selected for you for the summit. A couple of them are even fibromyalgia survivors and thrivers, just like me. My desire for this series is to offer you hope and valuable resources to get free from your symptoms of fibromyalgia. You're going to learn so much from these experts. I can't wait for you to have our tips and secrets for finding relief from pain and fatigue. I know when you're struggling with a chronic illness, it's easy to feel like you're all alone. So I want to congratulate you for saying yes to this powerful support system. You're not alone anymore, and I am super excited to support you in living the life you are meant to live. In just a few moments, I'm going to be introducing today's guest, and I'm thrilled that over the next 10 days, there will be a new person interviewed every day. To help you make the most out of today and these next 10 days, I want to remind you of a few things. In the Facebook group and in your Success Kit workbook, I invited you to consider if you could get anything out of the summit, what it would be. Remember what you said you wanted to get out of these 10 days? Well, bring that intention forward now as you listen to each interview. Your intention will take your mind off of your problems and perceived limitations. Instead, it will place your focus on something that will have a positive impact on your life and put the power of change in your own hands. I have a few tips to help you make the most out of this interview. First of all, make sure you're in a distraction-free area so you can focus without interruption. Second, grab your notebook or your special summit workbook if you have the success kit and a pen. And third, be sure to write down your biggest questions about fibromyalgia that relate to today's conversation. So if they aren't answered during the interview, you'll be ready to post them in our private Facebook group and get answers there. I am excited to introduce you today to someone who empowers women who are exhausted with foggy thinking and mysterious symptoms to gain lasting energy, clear thinking, identify the root cause, and then completely resolve their mysterious symptoms once and for all. She's going to speak to you about the 8 blocks to healing that no one told you about. She will share the 8 blocks to healing that may be keeping you sick and tired and how to identify which blocks you may have. She will also provide several unique healing strategies and modalities to help deal with these blocks and resources so you can be empowered to get the support you need to resolve your blocks. Our guest speaker today is Kristen Grace McGarry. Kristen Grace is a speaker, trainer, and holistic, comprehensive, integrative, and individualized healthcare expert. She speaks on a diverse array of topics, including functional blood chemistry analysis, ketogenic gut repair, the 10 shocking reasons you may be sick and tired, and the 8 essentials to optimal health so that you become an informed consumer, empowered in your health care. She has over 20 years of training and expertise in Asian medicine, functional health care, homeopathy, advanced craniosacral therapy, somato-emotional relief, dolphin and whale-assisted bioaquatic therapy, working with the brain, harmonizing subconscious patterns that block healing, and extensive lifestyle and nutritional expertise. She combines this vast knowledge base with compassion and empowerment to support you to heal on all levels. She is the author of a new authoritative text coming out soon on ketogenic gut repair, which can help halt, heal, and prevent autoimmune issues, titled The Ketogenic Cure, Heal Your Gut, Heal Your Life. Welcome, Kristen Grace. How are you today?
Hello, Whitney. Thank you so much. I'm very well. I'm very excited to be here with you and everyone today.
Well, we're excited to have you here.
I'm really, really grateful that you've put this summit together because, in my experience clinically, so many people need this level of support. And what you've done in bringing these speakers together is going to really, really change your listeners' lives.
Well, thank you. That was my goal and my desire. So I appreciate you, your acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kristen Grace, can you tell us why the topic of fibromyalgia is something you're so passionate about?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So I am now very healthy and energized and strong. I have a very blessed life, but it wasn't always this way. About 25 years ago, I was very, very ill as a young person. And I had been, quote unquote, healthy. You know, I had been vegan and vegetarian for about 8 years. I was a competitive bodybuilder and involved in many different sports. So I thought, hey, I'm pretty healthy. And I was so confused when I got sick with debilitating pain and spasming in my neck and my shoulders, my jaw. I had dozens of painful trigger points. I had a lot of digestive issues, gas and bloating and constipation and sharp pain, and I would get migraines. I had trouble sleeping, but I could sleep for 14 hours, but I would come in and out of sleep. It wasn't consistent. It didn't feel restful. I would wake feeling like I had been run over by a Mack truck. And I kept asking myself, how could someone so young and supposedly healthy feel so horrible? So soon the episodes became closer and closer together, and eventually I had some kind of pain and fatigue like all of the time. And I went to all sorts of doctors, and many of them told me it was in my head and I should get a good therapist. And I felt angry and confused and sad. Somehow it felt like my body was hijacking me, and I felt lost. Finally, I found a rheumatologist in Washington, D.C., and he diagnosed me formally with fibromyalgia. And at first, I was relieved because of that diagnosis. It was somehow proof that I wasn't crazy and it wasn't just in my head anymore. Mm-hmm. But then I was told I would never be able to heal from this, that I would have this forever. And so the relief turned to sadness. And the sadness fueled energy in me. It fueled my will that I wasn't going to take that lifelong diagnosis seriously, that I was going to beat this and I was going to find a way to heal my body. I just refused to be a victim to the symptoms forever. And that's when I began my quest to really heal, and I did. So I started with chiropractic, which led me to acupuncture and herbs, which led me to Qigong, and this led me to advanced cranial sacral therapy and somato-emotional release. It led me to working with dolphins in a therapeutic setting, and things like electrodermal screening and homeopathy and biological medicine, holotropic breath work, and so much more. I had been a single mom when I got sick. I was sick right before I became a mom. And during my pregnancy, interestingly enough, my symptoms went away. And then after my son was born, they came back. And I began Oriental Medical School. I had been pre-med at the University of Arizona. And because of my own experiences of healing, I decided Oriental medicine was where I really wanted to put my energy and my studies. And I began even though I was not fully healed yet. And it was in that first year of school that I fully completed my healing around the fibromyalgia symptoms. So 1 year I spent almost $50,000 to many incredible doctors and healers to find answers. And it doesn't have to cost that much. I learned a lot, but I never got the magic pill I was looking for because there really wasn't a magic pill. I learned that I had to peel off layers of my own unique health situation and individualize things to work for my body. So I became empowered to identify and heal any blocks that might prevent my success. And in a little under 2 years, I went from being unable to brush my hair on most days because of pain to feeling healthy and vibrant. And that's one reason why I'm here today, to support all of you in any way I can to become informed and empowered to heal. And I believe that listeners can fully heal. And even if everyone says you can't and you're going to have this forever, I'm living proof of that. And so that's why I'm passionate, and that's why I'm here to share what I've learned to empower and support all of your listeners, Whitney.
Wow, that is an incredible story, and it's and so familiar.
Yeah.
Especially the part about spending the $50,000 in 1 year. I mean, if you want to get better and you don't have somebody, you know, really giving you the direction on how to do that, it can be extremely expensive. So I definitely can relate to what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything that could help our listener better understand what you are about to share with us regarding the eight blocks to healing?
Yes, there is. There's one concept I'd like to introduce before I go into the eight blocks of healing, and that is the concept of body burden. So I'm going to introduce this concept of how our body can accumulate things, and it can become a stress or a burden. And that in itself can be a block, but it's a little different. This concept is going to help you understand the blocks a little better. So I'll give you an example. This is a metaphor. At birth, we are born, let's say, with a standard issue desk. It's like an energetic desk, like a desk you have at work. And when you're born, that desk is empty. It's clear of all papers and bills and pens and, you know, all of that. And if you're born, let's say, there's a traumatic birth or you're born C-section, then, which can be traumatic because there is a pressure gradient change which compresses and shifts the cranial bones when the baby hasn't gone through the natural contractions of moving through the birth canal. And an advanced cranial sacral therapist understands that pressure gradient change and how it impacts not only the cranial bones but the nervous system and the brain and the digestive system. It's pretty huge. So let's, as an example, say you're born C-section, and this trauma appears on your desk as a few pieces of papers, a few pieces of paper or a bill, okay? And then we'll say you get vaccinated. Now, I know vaccinations are controversial, but I'm going to use them in this metaphor that the body has a natural defense mechanism, the skin and the mucosal membranes, and vaccinations bypass this natural system and kind of startle the immune system by injecting something, a pathogen, deep in the body. So it can be confusing to the immune system and cause dysfunction. So let's just say that's a couple more pieces of paper on your desk. Then, as a child, you get strep throat and some sinus infections, and everyone's doing their best to support you in the best way they know how, and that's often with antibiotics. So there's this kind of regular use of antibiotics for various childhood infections, and this can impact your immune system as well and the healthy gut flora in your body, and there are a couple more pieces of paper on your desk. Now the stacks are getting higher. Now, let's say your father might have had an issue with alcohol and yelled a lot, and there was some emotional stress in your house. Well, that's more papers on your desk. Then you had a few cavities, and they used mercury fillings. And, you know, I know that that can be controversial, but in other countries it is illegal to use mercury fillings, amalgam fillings. So more papers on your desk because that adds to your toxic load in your body. Maybe you were eating fruits and vegetables from the local supermarket, and they're often laden with pesticides and fungicides, and those are more papers on your desk as your toxic and emotional load increases. Maybe your home is located near a cell phone tower, and you're constantly being exposed to electromagnetic fields. That's more papers on your desk. And maybe you have a car accident as a teenager, as a young driver, and more papers accumulate. Before you know it, you're an adult, and your desk is full of papers and unpaid bills. And as you know, it takes time and energy to sort through and file those papers and pay those old bills. and go through stuff, throw stuff away that's no longer needed. But in our bodies, we often can't get to them all. And just like the body can't deal with all the old, poorly unresolved stuff and chemical accumulations in your system, it can be a stress on your physical body and your emotional body. Most of your energy is then focused on survival instead of thriving. Your system doesn't have the energy or time to sort through all those papers and old bills, and you begin to get symptoms. And often, those symptoms may seem mysterious, like pain or fatigue, and it's hard to put your finger on them. So that's how I wanted to just introduce the concept of body burden. And it's not unique to people who only have fibromyalgia, but it's common to people who have the symptoms of fibromyalgia. And it's something I personally dealt with and learned about in my own healing. So I wanted to introduce you to that concept and then move into the blocks.
Wow. that's incredible. I had no idea. So this is really good information for us all to know. I guess the next step, talking about the 8 blocks to healing?
Yes, let's talk about the blocks.
Okay.
I get very excited because these blocks changed my life in so many ways. And over the last 20 years of practice, almost 21 years of practice, I have witnessed people's lives and health completely turn around by identifying and resolving these blocks. So I get very excited because I imagine it can be very empowering to you, the listener, to hear some things that you have never heard before and give you some hope that not every rock and leaf has been turned over yet in your own healing journey, that there's more things that you can learn about and feel empowered about so that you too can heal and return to vibrant health.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'll start with the first block that I'd like to speak to today, and that's scars. So scars can include, I'm going to use an example today. I'm going to go back to the C-section example and use a C-section scar as an example. It's common that women have C-sections. It's common that women have surgeries, and men as well have different surgeries in different places of our bodies. I know that I had an emergency appendectomy, and although it was laparoscopic, I still have some tiny scars that I'm dealing with personally. And I notice a difference when those scars have been treated. I've also worked with many women who've had very large C-section scars, and during a very short course of treatment, they shrink and change dramatically. And if women had numbness around it, often the feeling comes back. If there was redness and puffiness, it often completely disappears. And that's just the superficial manifestation of treating something deeper. So what happens when the body is cut through? In Asian medicine, in traditional Chinese medicine, in acupuncture Asian medicine, there are meridians, or these channels of energy, where qi, our vital life force energy, and blood flow. And when these meridians, these channels of energy, are severed, they don't necessarily reconnect on their own. And each channel of energy, each meridian, is associated with at least one organ, sometimes several. Sometimes they even pass through several. And they can directly impact the functioning of that organ. So if a meridian is severed, and actually during most C-sections, up to 4 meridians may be severed, those organs over time can be directly impacted, and we can notice lower organ function. So by addressing the scars, we can help mend the meridians and impact those organs and help them stay healthy and allow the energy to flow in those meridian systems. In Chinese medicine, when we're fatigued, there's less energy in the system. So we want to find out where's the drain or where's the block of energy. And scars could be one of them. So there's also, besides acupuncture, we have very specific techniques in acupuncture to work with scars. There's one technique that's called surrounding the dragon. I love that name. And a trained acupuncturist, a licensed acupuncturist, and a nationally board certified acupuncturist will know those techniques and be able to work with you. In certain states, acupuncturists and naturopaths can also perform a therapy called neural therapy, which is an injection therapy that also helps open the scar, heal the scar tissue, and eliminates this particular block to healing. There's one other point I'd like to bring up with scars, and that's the fascia. So the fascia suffers as well when there's an incision. So fascia is the delicate and beautiful web of tissue that covers and protects the organs and the muscles. It's everywhere in the body. It's amazing. When we dissect a cadaver, you can touch a piece of fascia that's around the brain and watch the big toe move. It literally connects you from your head to your toes. And if some of it is cut or severed somewhere, it can form a fascial restriction that can impact many different places in your body and cause pain. So when this whole structure and musculature can be impacted by that fascial restriction, and it can even impact your bones. So a therapy such as advanced cranial sacral therapy and visceral manipulation can help release these fascial restrictions. Certain kinds of massage can also work with the fascia and identify and release various restrictions. So I'd like to give one other, actually I'm going to wait until I have another tip that I'm going to give you, another reference that I'm going to give you in a later block to healing. So you've got some acupuncture here, you've got advanced cranial sacral, visceral manipulation, massage, and neural therapy to deal with scars that you might have from surgeries, from injuries or trauma or C-sections. So that's the first one. Would you like me to go to the second one?
Yes, please.
Okay. The second block to healing I'd like to share today are latent infections. And these can be tricky to identify, but working with a very comprehensive functional healthcare provider who has the tools can get to the bottom of it. Many people, especially people with fibromyalgia symptoms and diagnosis, often have Epstein-Barr virus, and it's usually not tested for. And Epstein-Barr can be a block if it's not dealt with. It can block healing and really keep your energy low. And you can also have flare-ups, so you can learn by working with a healthcare provider how to identify a flare-up and how to work with that viral load. There are combinations of herbs, homeopathy, nutritional support, such as a liposomal vitamin C, that can help with that viral load so that you can still feel energized. So I'll disclose that I have Epstein-Barr virus. I had mono when I was very young, and it was part of my fibromyalgia fatigue picture. I have tons of energy now. I still have Epstein-Barr virus, but my titers are much lower because I've found ways that work for my body to deal with that viral load. A couple other things that might come up under latent infections are parasites or Lyme. Old sinus and throat infections that weren't resolved properly, possibly the overuse of antibiotics that can cause bacteria and viruses to mutate and adapt. So in biological medicine, there is a term called pleomorphism, And this is versus monomorphism. So there was a belief that bacteria were monomorphic. They only had one life. But actually what science has found is that bacteria are pleomorphic. They have more than one aspect to their life cycle. They have multiple phases of their life cycle. So one thing that can happen with antibiotics is it forces the bacteria to change to a different life cycle, a life phase of their life cycle in order to survive. And if that happens, they can stay latent in your body and pop up at other times and make you feel awful and exhausted. So unresolved infections are a burden and a block on your immune system. Well, they're a burden on your immune system and a block to your overall healing. Gut issues can also be a huge part of this and a block around latent infections. If our gut bacteria, the healthy probiotics and prebiotics, aren't balanced properly, then your immune system will not be strong and balanced and able to fight things properly. And that can create more inflammation and disharmony in your system. It can cause pain and inflammation and all sorts of issues. Gut issues are very connected to how our brains work. So having a strong gut can actually clear foggy thinking, depending on the root of the foggy thinking. So latent infections is another important block to healing to explore, to see, to test if you have any of them, and then individualize how to work with your immune system to deal with those latent infections.
Okay. A lot of information. All right. So what's the next block?
Third, unresolved trauma. So car accidents, emotional, psychological, sexual abuse, physical abuse, and assault, people who have been in or near a war zone, a natural disaster, a traumatic birth, perhaps a medical trauma. I've had patients who went in to have one organ removed and they removed two or three and it was a shocking surprise. They felt powerless. Unresolved trauma. And when I say unresolved, that means that we haven't dealt with it in an integrated way. So some people, if they have emotional stress or physical trauma, say an abusive relationship, they might go to a therapist, which can be very helpful. And talk therapy has a very important place in our overall well-being. And it's partial, in my opinion. We can talk about things. We can bring awareness to things in old patterns or old tapes in our head, but it doesn't necessarily change them. So I like to have a more integrative approach and use talk therapy as one modality that I'll refer people to. And I believe it's important to integrate it into the body. And that can be done with many different modalities. I'm going to mention the advanced cranial sacral therapy and advanced somato-emotional release now because of the work I've done with the Upledger Institute. And Dr. John Upledger has actually ran programs working with Vietnam veterans who had PTSD to see how this advanced cranial sacral and somato-emotional release work resolved their trauma, their PTSD. There are some beautiful studies there. So he taught me a phenomena about cell memory called cell memory, that trauma is stored in our tissues, that our bodies remember everything. The body can also release the traumatic feeling, pain, memory, and nervous system stress so that you can feel free again. There are modalities and systems of healing that support that deep level of transformation. And for me, the advanced cranial sacral therapy and somato-emotional release were life-transforming. So I had a very, very serious car accident, and I had a pain in my back for almost 10 years and could not get it to go away no matter what I did. And I was very blessed to be in a workshop and had three very skilled advanced cranial sacral therapists working with me. And my body began to move into what looked like a car accident position. And I didn't have anything going through my head. I didn't feel scared. My body was doing this kind of unwinding, and I was being very well held, and people were really listening to my system, the cranial sacral system, which is very palpable in the body if you're trained. And I was going through the movements, and then I identified, oh, this was a car accident. I can feel it. Oh, my gosh, this is how my body moved in that car accident. And I got to this one particular position, and everyone stopped, and they all held me there. And I burst into tears, but didn't know why. It was content-free. That pain left my back and never returned. It was miraculous. And so because of my own experiences in my own unresolved trauma and how I went about resolving it, I really, really appreciate and love how deep the advanced cranial sacral and somato-emotional release helped me integrate the releasing of that trauma from my head to my emotional body and my physical body.
That's incredible. I've actually had both of those done on me as well, and they're they're powerful tools.
Yeah. So my fourth block to healing are EMFs, and I wanted to give a definition of that. So electromagnetic fields. So www.detect-protect.com was one of the definitions I found that I wanted to share with you. Electrosmog is another name for EMFs, and it is the invisible electromagnetic radiation resulting from the use of both wireless technology and mains electricity. The most common source of wireless electrosmogs are cordless phones, cordless baby alarms, mobile cell phones, mast towers, transmitters. There's a specific kind of electrosmog that has been linked to cancer and other diseases. It's known as high-frequency voltage transients, or quote-unquote dirty electricity. And transients are largely byproducts of modern energy-efficient electronics and appliances, from, say, computers, refrigerators, plasma TVs to compact fluorescent light bulbs and dimmer switches. So they tamp down the electricity they use, but they can cause a lot of disharmony in our bodies. You know, we are electromagnetic beings. We have a nervous system that is incredibly electrical in our brain and throughout our entire body, and that can be severely disrupted. So I've found this can be a block to healing for some people. Say, living close to a cell tower, which many of us do depending on what cities we live in, or holding cell phones up against your head or the Bluetooth wireless signaled up against your head. There are many, many studies out there. NBCNews.com has a link to an article that I will post on our Facebook page, Whitney, so people can read more about it. It was very, very interesting just to give some tips so that you can begin looking at how electricity or EMFs may be impacting you. I'd like to give you a couple of tips, some things to look out for and consider changing. For example, having a digital clock next to the head of your bed. You may consider moving that across the room, like 6 feet away to the other side of the room. So this will also inspire you to get up to turn the alarm off instead of snoozing too much. But that can make a difference to somebody. Not having your computer or your cell phone next to the head of your bed. If you're in bed working on your computer making sure you remove it from your room before you go to sleep. I encourage people to keep computers and phones completely out of their bedroom for better sleep hygiene. But I just like to tell, you know, give people options. The wiring in someone's walls could be impacting them. I know when I built a house in Flagstaff, I built a very eco-friendly house, and we researched and learned about twisting the wires in the walls. We had the electrician specially twist it to negate a lot of the EMFs. We also had a kill switch installed in the master bedroom. So when I went to sleep, I could switch that kill switch, and all the electricity in the walls of my master bedroom would be off. So I was sleeping in a safer environment. I've worked with Dr. Dietrich Klinghart, and he even suggests people turn the breaker off to the whole house overnight so that you're more protected. You can also turn your Wi-Fi off at night, and then just turn it back on during the day if you have to work on the computer. But that can greatly impact your health as well. I wanted to just see if check my notes on this because there's so much information on Wi-Fi. I don't want to overwhelm you, but it's definitely something to start bringing awareness to in your environment. I think the cell phones, having computers not directly on your lap, there are something called HARA pads, H-A-R-A pads, that protect your lap and your genitals from the impact of your computer's EMFs. That's something else you can look into. So beginning to identify if you're sensitive to electromagnetic fields can really greatly impact your health if that's one of the blocks that you're noticing. You're not crazy. Some doctors will say you're crazy, and you're not. I believe you. I know I have various sensitivities, and I know that everybody's body is a little unique. There are even things you can drape around your bed to protect you from EMF. So there's a lot out there that can be done.
Yeah, Kristen Grace, this is a huge amount of information. I wasn't aware that there was so much you could do. I can't wait to hear the next one.
Okay, so number five, heavy metals, toxins, molds, pesticides, plastic residues, which can alter your hormones, these toxic overloads, this concept of body burden again comes up, and these can be a block to healing. I know it's controversial, but I'm going to just touch on heavy metals and mercury, amalgam fillings. This can be a huge block to healing. I had a lot of neurological symptoms. My balance was off when I would go up and down stairs when I had the symptoms of fibromyalgia. It was one of them. And having my mercury safely removed changed my neurological picture in a very short period of time. So I want to add, if any of the listeners still have silver fillings or silver underneath crowns, to consider working with a biological dentist to learn how to do a safe removal and a safe detox. That's very important. Some people do really well with chelation therapy and others don't. So you need to work with a team, a biological dentist, someone who understands functional health care, someone who can look at your individuality and see how your organs of elimination are. Those need to be supported, your liver, your kidneys, your skin, your intestines. So heavy metals or toxins, molds, pesticides, plastic residues, these can be a block to healing as well. Next, I'd like to speak briefly about hidden food sensitivities. This is number six block to healing. So it's hard to test for hidden food sensitivities. An elimination diet won't do it, unfortunately, because sometimes it can take 4 days, 7 days, even up to 2 weeks. Some doctors say 30 days. Before a hidden food sensitivity may cause a reaction in your body. So if you're doing a 3 or 4 day elimination diet and you're only adding one food in for 4 days, that may not be enough time to identify if you're having a reaction. And many labs out there doing testing for these food sensitivities are not very good. I've had experiences where colleagues will report sending in blood from one patient but putting two different names on it to a lab to do sensitivity food testing, and it comes back with two different results. That's lab error. There is one lab that I would like to share. I do not have any financial affiliation with this lab. I just believe in good science, and I've done the research. And Dr. Vojrani of Cyrex Labs is brilliant, and I trust their multiple food immune reactivity screening. It's called Array 10. Cyrex is spelled C-Y-R-E-X. There's a very special way you need to prep for that test, so make sure you're working with a healthcare provider that's familiar with Cyrex Labs and knows how to prep you for that test so that you get accurate results. It's very important. These hidden food sensitivities are a stress on your body and your immune system, and it will cause you to continue struggling and feeling exhausted. It will cause gut damage and inflammation. It's important to get to the root of it and then repair the gut and eliminate those foods for a while. Often you can bring some of those foods back once your immune system is balanced and your gut is healed, and then other foods you'll have to just avoid and have other healthy, fun, yummy substitutes for.
Wow.
Number 7, block to healing, unresolved hidden dental issues. This came up for me personally as well. I had wisdom teeth removed when I was 15, and I thought everything was fine. And in my 30s, I had thermography done, which is a very healthy and scientifically based alternative to mammography. But it's not just a picture of the breast tissue. I got it from my chin down to my pubic bones. Actually, a little higher. I guess I did do my face down to my pubic bone. And thermography will show hot spots and can tell a heated disease pattern possibly years before mammography might find it. And they found hot spots, 4 hot spots in my jaw where my wisdom teeth used to be. And I went to a biological dentist that I trusted, that I had interviewed, and they went in and did a surgery. They scraped out the rotten bone. They sent it to a lab, and we did a pathology report. I had 41 different kinds of bacteria. It was disgusting. They did a bone graft, and it healed. And now I don't have those hot spots. Why that was important is I was having thyroid issues, and there was a connection. You could see red from my jaw to my thyroid. And so that resolved. So that's one example. Gum pockets are another example. Having a panoramic x-ray done and interpreted by a biological dentist who's trained to find gum pockets is another dental issue that can be easily resolved. Root canals is another controversial issue. I'd like to give the listeners a resource. There's a book. It's called The Root Canal Cover-Up, and it's by a dentist, George E. Meinig, M-E-I-N-I-G. It's an amazing resource. There are other books out there. I encourage listeners to consider root canals and how those are considered unresolved dental issues and maybe a piece of the picture of fibromyalgia for that person. Next, the final, and one of my personal favorites, blocks to healing, is number 8, and that's subconscious patterns. So we don't know what we don't know. And the subconscious mind runs like 95 to 97% of your world. So we're on autopilot most of the time. And the body speaks the mind through a language of symptoms. So that isn't to say that you created your illness. No one would consciously choose to not feel well. I know I did not do that. And The subconscious drives us on many levels. I like to look at subconscious patterns as strategies of protection. We all have them. We use them to feel safe in our lives, and we often learned them when we were very young. Not only do they help us feel safe, but they also help us learn important life lessons. So some, I know for myself, some of my subconscious patterns I became aware of from my family of origin or from past trauma, and others I was clueless about. So I found Dr. Darren Weissman's work. He's created a beautiful and deeply transformative system. He channeled this system called the Lifeline Technique. And it's one tool that can begin to shine light on the subconscious patterns that we have and harmonize them instantly so that the body can heal. It's like removing this block, that subconscious that we're not aware of, so the body can do what it's made to do. One of his excellent and inspirational self-help books I would like to share with you today, the name of this book, because you can read it and begin to learn the first steps of the Lifeline Technique for yourself. It's called Awakening the Secret Code of Your Mind. And Dr. Darren Weissman teaches workshops all over the world. He is a brilliant educator and holistic healthcare practitioner. And he's empowering people. And he's worked with me personally. He's a personal friend of mine. And the Lifeline Technique is something I'm extremely passionate about because of how it's really changed my life. Another favorite teacher I want to mention who also works with the subconscious is Dr. Joe Dispenza. One of his books I'd like to offer you as a resource is Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And he teaches that beliefs and emotions create your personality, which create your personal reality. By bringing more awareness to our triggers and thoughts, reactions, and emotions, we can further stop them from hijacking our brain and our life, and therefore create a new health and new physical reality. He teaches this through meditations. He teaches people how to change their brain waves and body chemistry so that you can heal more quickly. And I'm working with these meditations and having beautiful results in my life. So that's another resource I wanted to pass on to your readers, because the subconscious can be elusive because we don't know what we don't know. And it's a way of getting empowered.
That's a mouthful.
It is.
And it's interesting. Yeah. This is the second day in a row I've heard about Dr. Joe Dispenza and breaking the habits of being yourself. So that's something I'm going to look into. Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. So can you briefly tell us, how does one identify which blocks they may have?
Mm-hmm. Thanks for bringing that up. It's a great point because I've shared a lot today, and it can be overwhelming in the beginning. And what I want to encourage people to do is to take baby steps. So if, as I was speaking, you identified that you have exposure to any of these blocks, consider it a variable, a factor in your health. If, let's say, yes, you had a C-section, or yes, you had knee replacement and you have a scar, consider that a highly likely variable that may have an impact on your current health and may be a block. Some people have a combination of blocks. Other people just have one. So I can't tell you exactly which ones you have, but through the talk I gave today, you can begin to identify, oh, yeah, I'm on the cell phone for work for 5 hours a day. I need to get a headset and keep the phone away from my body. Let's see if that minimizes my headaches. You can begin to be empowered with this information and start to consider, bring awareness to your environment. So that's one way. I also want to encourage people to remember that you're an individual, and I can share lots of stories about what's worked for me and all of my patients. But please find support that will honor your individuality and not just a cookbook protocol. I know because I had a lot of pain in my body, and many of you have a lot of pain and discomfort and fatigue, that it's easy for us to want to push it away. We want to make it go away. It motivated me. It empowered my will. Like, I want to get rid of this. Part of my path of wanting to get rid of it was also accepting the moment and accepting that my body was speaking to me with a very unique language of symptoms. And in slowing down, I was able to better understand and listen to the language of my body. And that began to inform what my next healing move would be. So it is important to be motivated and committed to heal. And it's also important to slow down and listen. Begin to listen, because some things I heard I didn't want to hear. For example, I was vegan, and my body said, you need to eat meat to heal, and I did not want to hear that. And I pushed that away for a long time. I had two different kinds of anemia that really blocked my healing. And I negotiated with my dear mom to cook some meat for me, and I began to notice a shift in my energy just from that one change. And I had to work emotionally and spiritually to wrap my head around eating meat. Now, not everyone has to do that, but some people may have to confront things that they don't like to hear. And there's a way to do that with grace and love and self-compassion and support that also holds you in a space of healing. So heightening your awareness, trusting that you're an individual, and I believe that your gut, that gut sense is important, and that you learn to continue listening and heightening your awareness to the language of your body.
Yes, absolutely. Kristen Grace, this was a lot of fantastic information to empower our listeners. I know you have a special gift for our listeners today. Would you like to tell us about it?
I do. Yes, thank you. I wrote an article that's called The Five Shocking Reasons You're Sick and Tired and Your Doctor Can't Find Anything Wrong. And I'd like to offer that to all of the listeners out there. And the first 20 listeners that opt in to receive that free gift, I would like to further offer a free optimal wellness consultation. And you can find this at kristenmcgarry.com/fibrosummit. Would you like me to spell that for you, Whitney?
Sure, why not?
Okay, kristenmcgarry.com/fibrosummit.
Thank you, Kristen. That is such a generous free gift that you're giving. Also, just so our listeners know, the link for Kristen Grace's free gift will be posted in the Facebook group as well, so make sure to look for it there. I just want to recap what Kristen Grace told us, because it's just such valuable information, and I want to make sure everybody got this. She shared the 8 blocks to healing, which are scars, latent infections, unresolved trauma, EMFs, heavy metals and other toxins, hidden food sensitivities, unresolved hidden dental issues, and subconscious patterns. She also explained how we can identify the blocks we have, and that's basically by considering, have you had an exposure to any of these blocks, you know, any of the variables that are involved in these blocks. So if you know of any exposures that you've had, that would be a way of checking into to see if you actually have the block. She She also talked about the unique healing strategies and modalities that will help with these blocks, such as acupuncture, neural therapy, advanced craniosacral and somato-emotional release, herbs, homeopathy, biological dentists, massage. I could go on, there are a lot of ways that you can deal with the blocks, and all of this is just fantastic information. So I do encourage you to go check out Kristen Grace's free gift, The 5 Shocking Reasons You're Sick and Tired and Your Doctor Can't Find Anything Wrong, free report, and hopefully you'll be one of the first 20, and you can get a free optimal wellness consultation as well. Now is the time to go to the Facebook group, where we will be posting the link for you to claim your free gift from Kristen Grace McGarry. And if you have questions that were not answered during the interview, post those in the Facebook group as well. And remember to tag Kristen Grace McGarry. This will make it that much easier for her to find the question. I invite you to write down your biggest takeaway from today's conversation and post this in the Facebook group as well. By writing this down and sharing it with the community, you actually anchor it in even more, and you can also inspire each other. Stay tuned for the email with tomorrow's interview information. And thank you, Kristen Grace. This was such an enlightening conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thanks for having me, Whitney, and I'm really excited to meet you all on the Facebook group.
Yes, I think it'll be a wonderful way to follow up on all the information that we've just talked about. You have a great day.
Thank you, and you as well. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.